Chapter 35, Estonia. The airport in Tallinn was empty and quiet like the one in Helsinki. It felt like it was sleeping. There was no noise from passengers, no kids crying, no music in the hallways, and no buzz from the tax-free shops. Occasionally, the footsteps of some staff members could be heard. They were probably longing to get off work and return home to relax. I sat on a bench by the luggage belt. There was no one there. I was the only one waiting for a bag to arrive on a belt that didn't look anything like it was about to start moving. The remaining staff were closing off the airport for the night, and a few looked at me, probably wondering if I'd planned to sleep there for the night. Eventually, I gave up. The guys working at the luggage service counter looked like they were on their way to pack up and leave, so I thought it was about time to tell them I had lost my bag. The guy behind the counter asked me for a phone number or an address of where I was staying. I had neither. He gave me a receipt for the claim and told me I would have to call them when I knew where I was staying and they would deliver my bag there. I was planning on staying in a town hours away and didn't really believe what he said, but I had nothing else to hold on to if I wanted my bag back. In my mind, I had already lost it and everything in it. I had to accept it, no matter how horrible it would be to lose all my camera equipment and that last 500 € bill which I had planned to fund my time in Estonia with. No matter what, there was nothing I could do at that point but wait. I had been in Tallinn the year before and remembered the name of the hostel we stayed in. I knew it wasn't far away and I could take the bus, maybe even walk there, but I was just too tired. It had been a long trip all the way from Brazil, so I decided to spend money on a taxi. It was a nice little hostel, decorated in a very psychedelic way. There were big paintings on the walls, pillows all over the floor, and guitars to use for everyone. I felt a little like being in a hippie house in Goa. There were lots of travelers there who seemed friendly and social. Fortunately, they had a free bed for the night. I was in bad need of sleep, but even more of my toothbrush that could be anywhere between Brazil and Estonia. I took a walk around town to see if I could find a convenience store or something that was open. I was so tired, it felt like I was inside a bubble. The world looked blurry, and the noise from all the people partying in the streets around me faded away and sounded faint and deep. I couldn't find a toothbrush. Back in the hostel, I emptied my small bag out on the bed to check the status of my possessions now I had lost my backpack. Wallet, credit card, earplugs, pocket camera, charger, iPad, 2 books, a pack of nuts, a handful of South American coins, and a big pile of receipts. No clothes, no food, and no toothbrush. I was lying down on my top bunk bed with all my clothes on. The stuff from the bag was spread all around me, and I was just staring at it without moving, face flat on the pillow, breathing through my half-open mouth. I had no idea what to do. I was tired and dirty. My hair was messy and greasy. I hadn't shaved for weeks. The cap from Bali was dark from all the dirt and smog it had been through, and the t-shirt I was wearing really smelt from the armpits. The bracelet I got from Steven in Hawaii was dirty and looked more black than brown around my skinny wrist. I didn't even want to look at my socks. At that point, they were officially the only pair I owned. Thoughts were piling up in my head about the lost bag, insurance, my photos on the camera, the money, and my clothes. Luckily, a sleepy feeling embraced them like a big heavy blanket, and before I knew it, I was knocked out. I woke up to the sound of some Russians speaking loudly in the room. They seemed to keep going for hours as I was trying to hide my head under the pillow, looking for my earplugs that had rolled down onto the floor. Eventually, I just had to get up. I went to a supermarket to buy a toothbrush, soap, and clean socks. Brushing my teeth and taking a shower had rarely ever felt that good. I had the reception call the airport. They said they would deliver my backpack a few days later, but I still didn't really believe in it. It was a beautiful day and the sun was shining from a clear blue sky. I was rested, clean, and at that point, it was much easier to accept that I might have lost my backpack with everything in it. It was only that anyways. Things. A few backpackers were hanging out in the common room, looking at maps and planning where to go. I lay down on one of the big pillows and felt like I could stay there all day. There was no hurry to catch a bus and I was in a good mood. I played the guitar for half an hour before finally getting up and heading out the door. The weather was beautiful and I didn't have much to carry, so I decided to walk to the bus station. I really enjoyed the feeling of not being in a hurry. If I didn't make the bus, I would just get on the next one. Being back in Northern Europe was great. Even though Estonia is different from Denmark, it really felt like home compared to the many places I had been to prior to getting there. The wooden houses were beautiful, the weather was great, and people were smiling. My friends from the gym back home and Daniel, the Scottish guy from Taiwan, had already arrived in the town I was going to, and I couldn't wait to see them all again. It was about an hour's stroll to get to the station. An old lady was working at the ticket counter. I guess she was probably around 60 years old, and just being used to it, I assumed that she wouldn't speak a word of English. I was surprised when she told me about the ticket price and departure times with a near-perfect accent and a big smile. The bus ride was beautiful. It was a hot summer's day, and we were driving through a long stretch of road through a forest of tall, slim trees, past golden and green fields with small farms scattered far between each other. A year earlier, I had been sitting in the same bus, looking out of the same window, going to the same city for the Jiu-Jitsu summer camp. I had been thinking a lot about the around-the-world trip I was working so hard to plan, wondering where to go, what to do, and how to make it all happen. I loved nature and was craving to experience it without filter. The forest, quickly moving past the window, seemed to almost call to me. I wanted to get out there and touch the world. Now I was back on the same road, and the trip was almost coming to an end. I had done it. It was hard to grasp that I had been around the world and only had one stop left. It almost didn't seem real. The sun was high in the sky, and there wasn't a single cloud to be seen as I sat on a bench by the bus station, waiting for Daniel to come by. "We'll be there in 10 minutes, bro. Was just at the nude beach," he texted me. When we were in Taiwan, I had told him about my summer trips to Estonia, and he had found a cheap ticket to go there and meet me for a week. It would be the third time during my trip that I would meet up with him. I spotted him walking towards me in the sunshine from 100 meters away with a big smile on his face. I didn't have any bag to carry around, and we weren't in a hurry, so we decided to start out by sitting in the sun and have a nice cold beer. It was a beautiful summer day, and I was thrilled to be back. We were catching up a bit before walking to the hostel where my friends from the gym back home were staying. They all got a big hug, and it was a special feeling to hang out with them again. The joy overwhelmed me. I was so close to being home, and I couldn't wait to see the rest of the people there. We had rented bicycles and drove them to the sports hall where the camp was held. It had been growing steadily every year, and this time there were more than 100 people attending. Like me, a few Estonian guys had started teaching themselves MMA and BJJ from scratch with no instructors. Now they had built up a serious community in the country with thriving gyms and athletes. They were also some of the best teachers I'd ever come across in my jiu-jitsu career. I said hi to everyone. I'd already told them beforehand that I wouldn't be training at the camp. A week later, I would be back in my own gym teaching and training, so I could really need a little break from it all before that. Estonia was a great place for a vacation and perfect to get my mind off of training for a while. It was a week of recharging my batteries. All the traveling had worn me out, especially after being sick in Brazil and flying such a long way to Estonia. I had hit rock bottom. There was nothing left in me. All I wanted to do was relax and enjoy the summer. And what a beautiful summer it was. The days seemed endless. Sitting on the bed in our hostel room at 11 at night, the northern sun was still shining bright outside. There was no rush. We went to the beautiful beach late in the evening, and it felt like it was in the middle of the day. During the day, I took my bicycle and slowly strolled through the quiet little streets. Big European beech trees, full of light green leaves, were gently whispering the sound of summer above my head. Small wooden houses in all colors decorated the streets, and friendly people seemed to be everywhere around us. One night, I slept on the grass in someone's garden, and another night in a hammock. It was warm and smelled nice. Even during the night, the sky was blue. I loved it. There was still no word from the airport about my backpack. I had to buy new clothes and toiletries. I knew the insurance would cover it, so I got myself a lot of new tank tops, shorts, sandals, and sunglasses. The proper summer attire for my little vacation. After 5 days, I was more relaxed and revitalized than I had been on the whole trip. I was ready to go home, and I was excited about it. The guys took different flights at different times, depending when they had to be back at work. Daniel and I left a day later than everyone else. We had planned to take the bus to Tallinn the day before our flights, but looking at the time schedule at the bus station, I suddenly remembered something I'd wanted to do on the trip. Hitchhike. We had all day to get there, so we were in no hurry. We sat on a bench outside of a supermarket and tried to make a plan while sharing a big bottle of iced tea. The weather had been perfect for the whole week, and that day was no exception. I walked to the office supply store and bought a big red marker and a piece of white cardboard. "Not serial killers," I wrote on one side and drew an axe with a cross over it. We both agreed that we should try and find a place to start a little outside the city, preferably by a field where we could relax and take our time, waiting for someone to pick us up. We walked about an hour to the city limit. We were a bit hungover, so we weren't that fast, but it didn't seem to matter. As we sat down, I held the sign and Daniel raised his thumb to the cars that passed. Just 7 minutes later, a big car had stopped and a blonde guy jumped out. He went straight to the back of the car to open the trunk for our bags and told us with a heavy Russian accent that he was on his way to Tallinn as well and we could just get in the car. His girlfriend was in the front seat. They were a young, friendly couple from Belarus who didn't speak much English but were very interested in talking to us. It was their first time ever picking up hitchhikers, and it was our first time ever hitchhiking. Daniel's Scottish accent proved a little too much for them to understand, but I was a master of international travel English, so we managed to keep a conversation going. They had a nice big car, and it was much better and more interesting than taking the bus. We spent the night back at the psychedelic hostel. I had no alarm clock, but magically woke up on time. If I missed the flight home, it wouldn't be the end of the world anyways. Two British guys were on a party trip, and I ended up talking a little bit with them in the morning. They were eager to make new friends, but I didn't have the energy to tell them the whole story of my trip. It had just become too long at that point. I still hadn't heard anything from the airport and considered my backpack lost. I crammed all my stuff into two plastic bags and changed into the least smelly t-shirt I had left, thinking that it would be best for the person who would be sitting next to me on the plane. One of the guys was sitting on the bed with a big belly and a hangover, depressingly commenting on the deterioration of his own body when I took off my shirt, revealing a six-pack from hell after rolling almost every day on the trip, burning off any fat that I'd carried with me from home. He asked me if I did any sports or something like that. A little bit, I replied. I needed to get home.